Well, happy birthday, Rock. 24 years. Next year, it'll be 25 and 10 years in this building. And time has a way of just moving on, doesn't it? It goes fast. And when you're young, you think it's going to last forever. And as you get older, like Jim and I are getting older, it goes quicker and quicker. And we turn around and it seems like 2 years are gone. And I remember starting this church with Jim, and we had 12 people. That was it. And we met in the Econo, and you know our story because we've made videos about it, but we were crying, and it wasn't because we had colds. We were crying because we had broken hearts. And there had been such a pain in our life and ministry. We didn't know what we were doing, and Jim had gone to Africa and found out he wasn't a missionary. And wasn't sure he wanted to ever pastor again, and yet God had sent him to San Bernardino. And so we had a word from God, and that word said, I've sent you out from the sheepfolds, and I put wool on your backs, and you're going to need mercy and not receive it, so that when you come again and hold the shepherd's rod in your hand, you'll know how to give mercy to my people. And that's the box of Kleenex. And this church started with broken hearts that wanted to understand and know the love of God. So San Bernardino was a perfect place to start a church like that. A church that would be built on the love of God, a church that would be built on the faith of God, a church that would say, Lord, in the 21st century, in the 20th century, we want to be a church that will cause your heart to shine and be proud of us. And so 25 years later, as you've seen from this video, a lot of great moments. From good works to salvations to making disciples to learning how to live together, not kill each other. Learning how to be a body of multicultures and a body of many generations. Learning how to be a church that looks like Jesus. Learning how to be a church that understands that we are his body on the earth. He's the head, we're the body. And that his heart and his desire is to bring the kingdom of God from heaven to earth through the church. And that we are his house, his family, and his temple. And it's quite an honor and it's quite a privilege to stand as believers in this generation and in this hour. And this morning we are asking you to bring a gift. We're asking you to come and bring something that's in your hand, something from your heart to help us get through the summer. And as Pastor's going to be explaining through this next year, we've got to pay this church off because we as adults and as old people, Jim and I, are not going to leave a debt to the next generation. God calls generations and he challenges generations to rise up and stand up and advance against the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness is rising in the 21st century. We are closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ than we've ever been before. And I want to encourage you this morning that as God chose a generation to build this church, God is now choosing a generation to pay off this church. And I want to say this about giving your gift this morning. The love of God is found in the foundational characteristic of generosity. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amy Carmichael, that great missionary to India, coined these words. She said, you can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. And so as we bring our offerings today, I challenge you and I challenge myself and I challenge this house as the mother of this house to ask the Lord, what can I bring? And I think about that little boy that brought the lunch to Jesus when they were trying to feed 5,000 people. They were men plus men and women. Probably 15, 20,000 people. This little event is recorded in all four Gospels. It's the only event outside of the resurrection that is. And they'd been with Jesus 3 days and there was no food, and his compassion was on the people. And he said to Philip, you feed them. And Philip said, there's no way we can feed them. We don't have the bread. And Andrew, Peter's brother, came up and said, I have some food here from this lad. Now, we don't know anything about this lad. He was young. That's all we know. And we know he had 5 loaves of barley bread and he had 2 fish. And this boy gave this food to Andrew. And Andrew says in John 6, chapter 6 of 1 John, and I just want to read this to you. He said, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. And I want to say that in this time and in this season of our lives and of our nation and of this world, you may look at what you've got and it may not seem like much. It may seem like you don't have much but enough for a lunch. But when you take that lunch, something you need and something I need, this kid could have eaten that food. But this kid gave that food to Andrew. And Andrew gave that food to Jesus with a comment, what is this among so many? How is this sack of food going to feed multiple thousands of people? But Jesus had a plan, and all he needed was a willing heart that had something, a heart that would be willing to give what they needed, but willing to give to help somebody else be fed. And when this church is willing to give from our hearts to help the kingdom of God feed the masses and feed the thousands that have broken marriages, whose children are on their way to hell, who've never heard the gospel, who are screwed up in every imaginable way, when this church rises up and says, I am willing to take what I have, what I need, and what I have reason to use, and I'm giving it to you, it doesn't seem like much, but oh, when it's put in the hand of Jesus. When it's put in the hand of Jesus, he already has a plan, and he has a plan, and he said, have the people sit down. And he began to give thanks to God. He broke it, and he passed it out to the disciples, and it fed the multitudes, and 12 baskets were picked up of leftovers. And don't you know, it doesn't say, but those 12 baskets, I'm sure, probably went to that kid. You can't outgive God, but we don't give to get. We give because our hearts are becoming like our Father, generous to the core and to the bone. And how can I enjoy what I have if somebody else is suffering? Lord, here it is. Take it, multiply it, and use it. And I believe that's what this offering is going to do this year for us. So whatever you have, give it with all your hearts. Know that even though it may seem like not much, in the hands of Jesus, broken and passed out, it will feed the masses. Happy birthday, Rock.
So cool. Thank you, Deb. With that in mind, I want to take you to Deuteronomy just real quick and look at the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy with me. And I just wanted to share this. Here, God's given instructions on how to do life God's way to the people of God. You know, sometimes we want to do life our way. Sometimes we want to figure out, well, this is what I'm doing. This is what I think it ought to be like. God, get involved in what, you know, where I'm at. Instead of us getting involved in where he's at. So God literally is at this place teaching etiquette, if you will, to the people of God on how to do and how to approach God and how to have a relationship with God and how to do things life his way instead of our way. Because we all have an idea about how to do life our own way. It comes from the tree of knowledge of good and of evil, where we make our own decisions instead of that which God has presented to us. So God is having to redefine their thinking. And he gives them an insight. He makes a statement that I thought was really fascinating that all of us could look at. In the 16th verse of the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy, it says this, 3 times a year all of your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place in which he, God, speaking of God, chooses. at the feast of the unleavened bread, at the feast of the weeks, and at the feast of the tabernacle, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. They shall not appear. God's teaching them how to do things. Sometimes we want to just do things our way. God's teaching them now the right way of doing things. He says, don't come before the Lord God empty-handed. And there's a reason for that, because I'm going to share with you in just a moment that the reason God said that is because defining your love for God is based oftentimes on how much you give. And I'm not talking about terms of money. I'm talking about your whole life. In other words, love we have defined in this church as a personal self-sacrifice, the giving of oneself for the betterment of someone else. So God says, if you're going to come before me and tell me that you worship me, tell me that you love me, tell me that you care for me, tell me that I'm special in your life, tell me that I'm what you need in life, and I agree to all that, God says, but don't come just with just those cheap words. Come with something that cost you something. Verse number 17 goes on, and listen to what he says in verse 17. Let me pop it up on the overhead, because now he defines exactly why he says, don't come before me empty-handed. And he says, every man shall give as he is able. So a lot of times people read that and they'll go to that with, let every man give according to the purpose of his heart, which we'll see in a moment out of 2 Corinthians, and say, see, I'm just not able to do anything, so therefore I'm not called by God to do anything. But he never mentioned one time about money. He said these words, every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord, not according to how much money you have. According to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Never one time does he say according to how much money you have or what you can spare or what you don't have or something extra. In other words, according to how much God has blessed you. Has God blessed you? If you're saved, you're going to heaven, you got a future ahead of you, a destiny, a purpose. God's encamped around you, about you. God's your fortress. He's your guide. He's your energizer. He's your everything. He's your breath. He takes care of you, provides for you, opens doors no man can open, closed doors no man can close, heals you straight. I mean, God does everything. According to what God has done and according to what God is doing in your grateful heart, don't come before the Lord without something in your hand. Because the proof of who you are and what you say is whether or not you love, and whether you love is based on what you give. How do I know that? The word of God makes it very clear. The proof of that is Jesus himself. In fact, let's just pop it up. You can mark it in your Bible. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verse number 9, just pop it up on the overhead and watch this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's our example. That though he was rich, don't you know he was rich? The Bible says the heavens are paved with gold. His asphalt is gold. Can you imagine the trillions of angels that exalt him and sing to him and love him and praise him and has everything? Is he the king of all kings he's described as? Rich. Come on, guys. And he does something because he loves you. He gives of himself for the betterment of you and I. And he comes to this planet, born in a manger. His first breath, I've said many times, is probably the stench of animal urine inside of a cave. That's his first breath. From the fragrance of heaven and the wealth of his kingdom. Can you imagine the fragrances in heaven? And the wealth of his kingdom, he denies himself of that, just like that little boy in that little boy's lunch. He denies himself of what he has so the master could take it and use it for the betterment of everybody else. And he says, though he was rich, he yet for your sake became poor. That through his poverty you might become, oh, wow. And all of a sudden, here is the proof of your love by what you give. For God, Debbie said it earlier, loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And love isn't just words. Love isn't just being nice to somebody. Love isn't just getting along in a social system. Love isn't buying someone flowers. Love is giving yourself for the betterment of someone else. Now watch this. While we're there, I'll just pop it up real quick because we don't have any time. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, starting verse, I think it's 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren. Here's Paul writing these words to the Corinthian church. Go to ahead of you in time and prepare a generous gift beforehand, which you previously promised. In other words, here's Paul. Watch this. So some of you get angry because the preacher says we need to bring our tithes and offerings. But let me tell you something. Can I just be honest with you up front? I'm always honest with you. 24 years we've been honest for you. For 24 years you've seen the fruit. 24 years we've proved it. And you can walk out of here and say anything you want, but we have a 24-year track record, and your little words are not going to ever dispute the truth that's been there for 24 years. And listen to me, I've always been honest with you. Can I just tell you something that you need to see that's kind of interesting up here? Here's Paul exhorting the people. You know why Paul's exhorting the people? He says, I want you to bring your gift, and I want it to be a point that's good for you. And he goes on and he makes a statement, because if they're not exhorted, most people won't give. For the first 3 years of this church, I didn't want the church to succeed. I was in business, making lots of money. I'll just pay for other people's churches. That's all I've ever really wanted to do anyway. I didn't really want to be a pastor. I didn't really want to be a pastor. I see myself as a businessman. And for the first 3 years, I didn't want the church to succeed, so I put a basket in the back. Do you know who put money in the basket? Me, nobody else. Because if the people aren't exhorted to give, they don't give. They'll get caught right back up in their own flesh, all that left side, right side stuff, and they won't do anything. And Paul says, I am exhorting you to give. Now, let's check the last part of that verse. He says, you previously promised, and he says, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. In other words, man, I'm exhorting you to give so you'll be generous and be happy about it. Why? Verse number six comes along and says, why would it be that way? He says, but I say unto you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. All of life can be summed up on this. What you sow, you reap. You put in God, you're going to get God out. You put in junk, you get junk out. You don't put in trash and get God, and you don't put in garbage and get good. What you sow, you reap. It's just the principle of the thing. For Debbie and I, in our life, we were such messes when we got married that we decided, let's just go for God for the rest of our lives. And somebody said, how did you ever be so successful? Was it you're smart? Was it all of the seminaries? Was it all the education? No, it wasn't any of that. Just simply what you sow, you reap. Just got in and went for it. And man, I'm putting everything I have into the things of God. When you put everything you have into the things of God, you'll get everything God has back to you. And you'll be blessed out of your socks. We know this principle. In fact, we've been waiting 1 year for a refund on some property that we have that we were overtaxed by an arrogant county, not our county, a different county that we own some property in. And they had taxed us too much money, and we complained about it. And they said, okay, we owe you money. For 1 year, they didn't pay us. And then the other day, we got this multiple $1,000 check. And I'm going to use this as an example, not to brag to you, but I'm going to use this as an example because I'm asking you to do something. I want you to know I do it, live this way. And so we got this multiple $1,000 check. It was like $6,000. And Debbie said to me, she says, that's a couch and two chairs I've been waiting for. And I said, great, go do what you want with it. I don't care. You know, I care less about that stuff. Do whatever you want. Doesn't matter one bit. Yep, she says, oh, I'm going to do this in blue stripes and tell me all about it. It was all great. And I said, it's fine, it's great. We go to dinner the other night with French pastors from France. And they're so discouraged because their city just built a mosque. A secular country builds a mosque in the city but wouldn't even acknowledge them as Christians. And they're so discouraged. We were over here on vacation. We had dinner with them. And Debbie, at the end of the thing, here goes the checkbook. I'm going, there goes the couch. And so a third of it went to them and two-thirds comes back to this church in this offering. And when we're finished, it's all gone. Now, let me tell you something. I don't give a flip because what I sow, I reap. And I'm not asking you to do something. In other words, if I really love God, then I've got to give up something I want and say, God, it's not just cheap words I come before you in. Listen to me again. It's not just cheap words. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. I need you, God. God says, I know that. But it's your heart that brings this, that says, I really love you, God. When you live a sacrificial life, God blesses you back. You cannot outgive God. Because notice what it says in verse number 7. Listen to this. Verse number 7, can you pop it up? So let each one give as he purposes where? In his heart, not his wallet. Do you see the word wallet there? Wallet has nothing to do with it. It has to do with your heart. Let everyone purposes in his heart, not grudgingly out of necessity, but God loves a what kind of a person? Cheerful giver. And then verse, I don't even know if I have verse number 8 up there or not, I do. And so God, and here's our famous verse that we quote all the time. Notice all the alls. God's really into this. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you will always have all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. That's the way we live our life. I'm asking you if that's the way you'll live your life. Today, as we bring, and it'll be right at the end of the service, you'll gather yourself, I'll explain all that to you. We're going to bring a special birthday offering to help us get through the month. And I'm asking you, as pastor, let's do this not from our wallets or checkbooks or even what we can afford. Let's honor the Lord this time and come before the Lord with something in our hand that cost us something and let God bless it back to us. Those of you that are new and this is not your church and you're just here checking us out, we love you. We want you to come back when we're not doing this. We don't talk about money very much in this place, but we want you to know we love you and you don't have to give anything. But this is your church, then you need to get on board and let's do something special. Before we go any further, if God just spoke to you today, be through Debbie and I, come on, give the Lord a great big praise.